It's here and now. That is Christe Sanctorum, and the voices you're hearing belong to nuns, the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, to be specific. They live in a cloistered order in rural Missouri, and even though the nuns live apart from the world has definitely heard of their album of religious music, Angels and Saints at Ephesus, it's called. The album topped Billboard's traditional classical charts for weeks earlier this year, and the nuns were named Billboard's top traditional classical album artist of 2013. I spoke earlier this year with Mother Cecilia, who is prioress of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles. Tell us about the piece that we're hearing right now.
Christe Sanctorum is a chant that we sing a couple of times a year to celebrate the feasts of the archangels, St. Michael and St. Gabriel and St. Raphael.
And for those who don't know much about the life that you lead, about monastic life, the nuns who perform this album are anonymous. And are these songs all songs that you just perform as part of your religious life?
They are. All the chants that are heard are taken from our divine liturgy, from the divine office that we sing 8 times a day.
Wow.
And the other pieces, the polyphony and the English hymns, we sing during Mass throughout the year.
That seems like a lot of singing.
Well, the cut and dry answer is that we love God. And it's also part of the rule that we live. We are Benedictine. We follow the 6th century rule of St. Benedict. And we're following his directions to come in and pray together, to thank and praise and adore God 8 times a day. St. Augustine said that to sing is the work of a lover, and we love God. And so we want to sing to him all the time.
I want to listen to another piece, Laeta Quies. This piece is chanted at the Mass of the Feast of St. Benedict, the founder of the Order of St. Benedict. Let's take a listen to this for a moment. One of the things that may be confusing, interesting, and just amazing to people is that you are nuns who come to a monastery because you want to devote yourselves to God and not because you want to be musicians, and yet you've managed to reach a very high level of performance.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought? I think a lot of that really comes from the fact that we are singing together so often throughout the day. Our voices, our whole heart kind of becomes one in the heart of God, and we're so attuned to each other. I mean, we live together 24 hours a day. So, you know, we're not just some choir that comes together for practice every Tuesday night. We're together all the time. I think really that's what brings the level that's kind of unexpected for contemplative sisters.
Now, do you ever feel the need for a male singer, or are there things that you have to do to the music to make it so that you don't need one?
It's funny you ask. So often I say, if only we had some basses. That would make life so much easier if we had some basses. No, it does. It makes it a little more difficult to do a couple of the pieces. I have to do a lot of rearranging. For instance, sometimes I'll take a 4-part piece for SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and try to rearrange it so it sounds decent for all female voices.
Is there an example on the album?
Yes, the Lorica of St. Patrick.
Thank you.
Now, you were a musician. You graduated from Rice's Shepherd School of Music. You played horn with the Columbus Symphony in Ohio. Why did you leave that world to become a nun?
When God is calling you to do something, you can only run away for so long. And I knew since I was a young girl that he wanted something of me. When I was introduced in my music classes and by friends in college to sacred music, that music really had a tremendous effect on me and on my soul. And it was the music of heaven, the Palestrina, the Miserere by Allegri. And it just swept me away. And I heard it and I knew there was a heaven. And I fell in love with this way of adoring God. And I had a wonderful job. I bought a house. I had everything. But he just, through, I think, this means of sacred music, drew me to him. I'm so happy. I've had peace ever since I left the world, so to speak, and great tranquility and great joy because I know that I'm doing what he has wanted me to do.
Now, most of the CD is music that's been composed by others, but I do want to listen to one. It's called A Rose Unpetaled, which was actually written by the Benedictines of Mary. Let's take a quick listen to that.
See in my path I cast away a rose in all its beauty dressed.
How does this all feel? I mean, your CD has topped, as we said, Billboard's traditional classical charts. That must be just amazing.
It's neat. You know, the sisters don't really know about it. I'm the only one who has any contact.
Really?
And yeah, it's, I mean, they know we're selling CDs, but they don't know that we're on the top of the charts or anything like that. And that's the way we want to keep it. Because, I mean, the thing is, these CDs are absolutely non-essential to our life of prayer. And if we hadn't recorded, or if we don't record again, it really wouldn't have any bearing or any effect on our life. It's nice. It brings joy to hear stories of how it touches souls out in the world. And for instance, many parents of autistic children write and tell us how it calms their children, and nothing else will.
Well, keep making music.
We'll see.
Mother Cecilia is the prioress of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles. Their latest CD is Angels and Saints at Ephesus. Mother Cecilia, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. God bless you.
And I spoke with Mother Cecilia over the summer. The Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, will be making some more music. Their new album, Lent at Ephesus, comes out in February. Special thanks today to our Christmas staff at Here and Now, Kainat Khan, Jessica Alpert, Emiko Tamagawa, Eileen Balinski, Rachel Gottbaum, Erica Morrison, Anna Cataldo, and Natalie Winston in Washington. Our engineers, Jim Kiesling and John Parati. Our director is Alex Ashlock. Our executive producer is Kathleen McKenna. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Robin Young will be back next week when I get to take a few days off. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Amy Selman. One Lump or Two, Vivid Abstract Paintings and Drawings, closes January 5th, icaboston.org.